item L on our agenda is going to be deferred until we actually have language or hear something more specific from the budget and governor's office and the legislature. So that's eliminated from our agenda. So now we take up item M, the technology report for from council's internal committee on technology. This is an action item, and I invite Judge Herman, our chair of the internal CCMS committee, Kurt Soderlund, and Mark Dessman, CIO and Director of Information Services, to the presentation table.
We're right on schedule.
Well, we're waiting for the technology. There's only one action item, and the rest of the presentation this morning is just what the status is in relationship to the charge that the council gave us back on March 27th. The action item is a change in the internal CCMS committee's name to simply the Technology Committee. Not that there's anything negative about CCMS, but so if I can have a motion, if there's any discussion on that.
So moved.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Thank you.
All right, slide one, please. On March 27th, as the council knows, and just to remind the council directed the internal committee to pursue and oversee the termination of V4, develop a branch technology vision and roadmap to leverage CCMS technology, leverage meaning seeing what we could do in terms of use of V4 and as well as its components by the trial courts and perhaps in terms of a vendor relationship, a commercial vendor relationship, and look at judicial branch court technology governance structure, seek alternatives, case management alternatives for San Luis Obispo, and we will, that's item M, or item N on the agenda, rather, because with the termination of V4 in March, it essentially pulled the rug out from underneath San Luis Obispo in terms of its plans to replace its failing legacy system, and also to work on an approach for courts with critical case management needs. This has been refined, actually, to seven tasks, but I don't think we need to take the time to go through these. They basically incorporate the charge, the interim charge of the council to the internal committee. In terms of bringing the council up to date where we are on the interim charge, decommissioning the environments and project documentation, the project documentation, which basically means documenting the project, is to be completed by June 22nd. And as far as the branch-wide technology vision and roadmap, cover court technology needs survey, the formation of a judicial branch technology initiatives working group and steering committee, and lastly, a proprietary software vendor works issue that we're coming to grips with. Judge O'Malley actually suggested at one of the last meetings that we survey the courts on what their technology needs were, and the survey was distributed in April. It's very pleasing to the committee, I think, to see that 51 courts have responded to that survey, and a draft analysis and report has been provided to our committee and will be circulated to the council and to the public. Some of the survey highlights: 6 courts have urgent case management system needs, and what that means is that they have systems that they think are on the verge of failure and that they need to replace in the coming year. 22 courts will need to replace one or more case management systems within the next 1 to 5 years. 16 courts are in discussions with vendors to replace their current case management systems. 35 courts are interested in participating in a trial court consortium to collectively negotiate contracts with private case management vendors. 33 courts expressed an interest in AOC implementation assistance with e-business services. 38 courts have expressed an interest in the AOC negotiating branch-wide licensing agreements. The majority of the courts believe the council should set standards in terms of technology. Courts believe the council should determine how the funding of technology projects will be secured. And of course, we know with the funding situation being what it is, that's going to be a major challenge. The courts want to be involved in the development of the branch-wide technology strategy. And this is an important component of the direction from the council to our committee, and that is that our interim charge is to be a collaboration with the trial courts. It's not directed downward. It is a collaboration. Electronic access and exchange of information, that seems to be the service that almost all of the stakeholders, including the courts, identify as being important in terms of looking at that particular issue from a government's perspective. We have a number of task forces, groups, working groups, advisory committees that are involved in various aspects of e-filing, for example. And one of our tasks go forward is to, first of all, survey all of those, and Jody Patel has that information and is collecting it, and then figure out the best way that we can perhaps streamline the groups and make sure that they are collaborating with one another and that they're not duplicating efforts. In terms of collaboration and outreach since the last meeting, we've had six meetings since April of 2012 within the committee that have addressed various issues that we're presenting here today. I had a meeting with the Court Information Technology Management Forum in a small pastry-producing village in San Ynez Valley, Solvang. And I want to give a little bit of a background to this. It's interesting. After we decided as a council to terminate the V4 project, I was approached by Alan Carlson from SEAC and also by Snorri Ogata from Orange County, who's the IT director down at Orange County, both coming from different directions, saying, we want to help. You know, it's obvious at this point that there's going to be more of a dependence on the trial courts in terms of where we go within technology in this branch. And we are available, and we want to provide subject matter expertise to the technology committee at the council level on a go-forward basis. Because the fact of the matter is that although we have judicial officers and court execs on our internal technology committee, the real subject matter expertise administratively and technologically is with court executives and particularly with the CIOs, who are techies, who are interested in problem solving from a technical perspective and have the expertise to appropriately advise us. So Solvang happens to be about 5 miles from where I live, so this was an easy one. I went and visited their committee. They spent 2 hours kind of briefing me from a tech perspective where they think the branch should go and how from a grassroots level up we should develop a technology strategy. In addition, SEAC has also prepared a draft report that I think is further down the slide list. As a result of this kind of informal approach, both from SEAC and from the Court Technology Group, we decided to develop a working group, if you will, of subject matter experts to assist our committee, as I said. And the members of this working group include judicial officers in consultation with Judge Rosenberg. We selected Judge Moss because of his participation on the internal committee, as well as from Ventura County, Judge Glenn Reeser. Both are extremely familiar with V3, and Judge Reeser is extremely familiar with V4, so they make a good team from the judicial officer perspective. And we also have representatives from the CIO group from across the state, as well as representatives from the CEO group. So this working group is also steered by a small group that meets by teleconference every Friday to see how we are progressing on the various issues that we're facing in terms of our charge. And Judge Moss, I've asked Judge Moss to chair this committee. Justice Ashman Gerst and I will participate regularly at all the meetings and so forth and so on, so there's no disconnect. So there's a direct link between this working group and our committee. And Judge Moss, you want to talk a little bit about the work streams?
Sure. The work streams actually was the brainchild of Robert O. Young, who's the technology chief technology officer at Santa Clara, an outstanding individual who really understands trial court needs from a technology standpoint. And you can substitute for the word work streams projects. And what we've done is we have defined five work streams or projects to accomplish the goals of the council. If we can go to that next screen, please. And if you can see that, it's a little difficult to read. On the left-hand column, those are the different projects. The technology roadmap, that is, where are we going to go? I mean, the HMS, CCMS has been hit by the iceberg and sunk, and we have 58 lifeboats out there now. Some of them have crewmen on board to row the oar, some of them don't. And what are we going to do? So we're going to develop a recommendation to the council for how we should go with this with technology. Resources is an issue. I mean, it's a tough thing. We don't have the money to do what we know we should be doing. So what we've done is we have created this work stream. And do we have the names of the individuals up there?
We do.
Hardly see that. Judge Reiser, and as you all know from Ventura, and Jake Chatters, the CEO from Placer.
And just by the way, Jake Chatters is the one who's the primary author of CX's draft report on what technology-related functions should probably be at the branch level, what should probably be exclusively at the trial court level, and then those that are kind of in the middle and in between that are gray areas that need further discussion and development. So,
yeah, so each work stream has a target date, and they're very aggressive dates. As you can see on this first one, it's August of 2012. That's coming up in a couple of months. We want to come to you with a recommendation. If we can't make that deadline, we'll advance it a little bit or push it out a little bit. But we want to get these things done and on the table as soon as we can. Moving down the list, CCMS V2 and V3, we have six courts out there that are using these systems, and we need to know, how are they going to be maintained? Is the AOC going to continue to do that? Are the courts going to form a group among themselves? So we have Alan Carlson from Orange County, the CEO at my court. We're a big-time V3 court, probably the biggest. And Brian Cota from Fresno that has V2, so they're going to head up that. And these work streams or projects, the people who are the sponsors are going to enlist judges and other CIOs as they need them, and they've got all kinds of volunteers to do this work. And they're going to come up with a recommendation again to the council as to what way we should go with B2, B3 maintenance. CCMS RFP, we're trying to come up with an RFP that all courts can use so they don't have to reinvent the wheel every time they go to acquire a case management system. And we have working on that Heather Pettit, from the IT person from Sacramento, and Robert O. Young, the IT person from Santa Clara. But it's not limited to those two, of course. They're going to draft people, judges, and court executive officers, and as many people as they need to accomplish this task. We go down to the CCMS reuse, and this has become a kind of the 800-pound gorilla because of the money that's available to do what we need to do to actually see what we can use or salvage from CCMS. So we kind of have this one on the front burner. We need to convince the legislature that we need $5 million to do this work, and that's what we're trying to get done first. And Les has already done a great amount of work on this, coming up with the 19 components that might be salvageable. And Celeste Schwartz, the IT person from San Diego, is going to assist Les in kind of spearheading that work group. And our target is next month because the legislature needs some answers right away, and that's why that's the most aggressive date that we've got. And finally, e-filing. I mean, e-filing is a hugely important thing for all of the courts. all the courts want it. All the courts are at different stages of development, technologically speaking. And we have our court is probably the most advanced in Orange County. So Snorri Ogata, who's got all kinds of experience with e-filing, is heading up that one along with Tim Benton of San Mateo. And it's a big issue, e-filing. If we have 58 different courts going 58 different ways, the attorneys are going to have 58 different ways to e-file stuff. It's not a good thing. So we're going to try to come up with some recommendations as how we can kind of unify this and create one, not maybe not one portal, but one way for the public, the attorneys, to access e-filing. So that's, in a nutshell, that's it.
Yeah, just to circle back, one thing that, first of all, I just have to say, hats off to Alan. Hats off to Tim Benton, who's the chair of the CIO group, as well as Bob Ouyang, who, you know, what's really wonderful about this approach is it's like coming from the trial courts, they want to help. It's not really costing us anything except staff's, Mark and Les's and Jessica Craven's time in terms of working to sort of help coordinate. It's very clean. There are individuals who have the responsibility for leading each one of the work streams with timeline set and a very clear idea of what they're trying to accomplish. So this is just one of those wonderful things that with a very difficult decision that we made, this came out with people willing to help. So again, thank you to everyone on this issue. One other thing that I should mention that goes to that last work stream involving e-exchange of information, I did meet, and it's one of the previous slides, I did meet last Friday on the 15th with the CTAC to sort of start the dialogue with CTAC about how the high-level judicial counsel technology committee will work with CTAC and what CTAC has in its inventory. And its inventory, of course, includes e-filing and a number of other issues, e-filing at the appellate level, which Justice Ashman Gerst has worked on very successfully, as well as e-filing at the trial court level. And their inventory at the trial court level really involves more of the rulemaking process, whereas, for example, the CIO on the tech side involves the administrative part from the CEO level in terms of information exchange by technology, as well as the technical piece that the CIOs can contribute. We're basically going in two directions in terms of how we leverage the V4 technology and its components, which includes document management, e-filing, e-exchange of information, as well as the public and stakeholder portals. And one track is this information is of no cost to the trial courts. We own this product. The trial courts are entitled to use the product. Any parts, pieces, or any whole parts of V4 and its components that are feasible within the feasibility studies and so forth and so on. The other track that we are pursuing is there any vendor interest in a business relationship that involves V4, licensing arrangement, purchase agreement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because as we do know, this everyone has looked at V4, says that it will perform as designed, and it's a very good product. One of the sort of glitches that we've come across is that Deloitte has vendor works embedded in the software. And to translate that, vendor works just simply means that they have proprietary intellectual property that's incorporated into the software, the V4 product and the components. And, of course, since it's their proprietary property, they want to protect that proprietary property. And as part of the contracting with Deloitte, they identified their vendor works in the underlying contract. And so we've gone to Deloitte and said, well, you know, on the one hand, we want to see what we can do in terms of use of V4 or any of its pieces and components with the trial courts. But on the other hand, we want to see if there's a potential commercial opportunity. And they have said, well, yeah, but, you know, we've got this intellectual property that we want to protect. So the most recent correspondence came from them June 15th, and actually the response, only a couple of paragraphs long, sort of goes beyond what's in that last bullet point. And they said, look, you know, a deal is a deal. Here's what we agreed to back when, but we are open to the idea of further discussions with the council and with the AOC in terms of how we can work around that language in order to accomplish what you want to accomplish in terms of perhaps a relationship with some other vendor. So so that door is still open, and we'll pursue that.
Justice Miller?
Yes, Justice Miller.
Well, first, I just wanted to commend you and the other council members on your committee and staff, because I know that over the last few months you've spent many a days and many a nights and many a weekends on this, and I know we all appreciate it and that you've done a wonderful job in that regards. The one question I had was, is if we don't receive the 5.1 or the 7 or the 8.6 or whatever that figure finally ends up to be, how will that impact your recommendations and what you're planning on moving forward on?
Well, if I could answer that, Justice Miller, I think it would impact leveraging any portion of V4, because in order to figure out what we've got, what we can break off, if you will, and use, we have to be able to look at it, we have to have experts come in, and we have to pay for the cost of doing that work. And if we can't do the work, we can't leverage any part of V4. It'll just sit on a shelf and gather dust.
I mean, just to add a little bit to that, we're in a position where the time point where it becomes simply untenable to have any use of the V4 product is rapidly coming toward us. In other words, if we don't do anything on a leverage front within X period of time, we simply lose the product. So at the same time that we are pressing on the accelerator and trying to do the leverage, we also have diminishing resources, both technically in terms of the collapse of the environment that supports V4 product, as well as we just essentially laid off most of the project management office, which oversaw V4. So yeah, we really are at a crossover point.
We can do things like plan our strategy for the future and all that. We can do many other work streams, but using the parts from V4, I think, will be impacted by that.
Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Back to the point just mentioned by Judge Herman concerning Deloitte's proprietary information that's embedded in the program. Yeah, that's right. Their response was that a deal is a deal. I'm confident that we believe that was part of the deal at the time. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's correct. That okay. is correct. We've had this. Of course, Mary Roberts Group has looked at this very carefully, and they have their list of in the contract of their of proprietary information. Yeah. So.
And how confident is the committee that those matters can be worked around with Deloitte? Are you hopeful or fairly confident?
They have left the door open. I mean, this letter has left the door open for that discussion.
All right. Thank you.
Remember, Justice Hull, that does not impact the court using any part of V4 itself. It only impacts the part if we go to outside vendors.
I understand, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Judge Wells.
Excuse me, does outside vendors mean private for-profit vendors only?
Yeah. Correct. We would, in fact, I don't know whether we've done any work on an RFP for outside vendors, but that's the way we would go. We do prepare an RFP.
Thank you. Judge Rosenberg.
Just a question. What if the legislature does not give you the 5.1 or whatever? Would a high-powered volunteer team of IT specialists from the trial courts be able to recover the data and provide some use for the V4 product?
You know, I mean, it's an open question that needs to be examined, but I would say this. First of all, the number of folks within the AOC that know anything about what's really going on with the architecture and the code has shrunk radically, almost to zero. So that resource is not there. And then and I think we discussed this at the telephonic meeting this morning with the steering committee, IT heads around the state have overall familiarity with the technology, they don't have familiarity with V4. And so for them to be able to come up to speed in a very short period of time with V4, given its really immense complexity, 6 million plus lines of code, et cetera, would be a challenge. Let me put it that way. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. What we're trying to do in this before July is we're trying to put a dollar number on specific tasks that have to be done, like personnel we have to hire, equipment we need, and that kind of thing, so we can demonstrate to the legislature how this money is going to be spent. That's what we're trying to put together now. I don't think right now we could do it without the funds. That's my opinion.
So next steps in terms of dealing with Deloitte, we have an internal meeting with OGC and IS scheduled for next week to strategize. CTA has also been invited to the table. They're willing to be a participant, so we'll be trying to establish a meeting date with Deloitte and CTA in Sacramento.
Everyone know what CTA is?
California Technology Agency.
Sorry, California Teachers Association.
California Technology Agency. So they're the, for lack of a better term, the policy and watchdog agency for technology in the executive branch, and they've offered up a strong willingness to help us out in any way that they can.
So bust us if we use jargon, because you know this is kind of a translation process. So, all right. In terms of the leveraging, we did put on the demonstrations. There were two demonstrations, one basically for the tech folks and another one basically for the administrative folks. And there was really a pretty strong turnout to take a look under the hood, so to speak, at what CCMS V4 and its components were all about. As indicated on the screen, we had 63 logins and 84 logins respectively, and those don't represent the entire number of folks that attended because there were rooms of people around, right, exactly, that were around the state that were looking in on that. And Alan, do you have any observations on that process?
Yeah, and you're right. We had six at one meeting and eight at another, just
right.
In our
right.
Facility. The interesting thing about the architecture turns out that the technology folks that put V4 together picked kind of the best of the breed, I think is the word that was used for the different pieces inside V4. It meant it was very efficient. I mean, that was well done, except it meant it's very complicated. And it would be hard probably to maintain that complexity of architecture stuff outside of the V4 environment. So that was a plus and a minus. I mean, I think they did a good job on what they put in there, except now it's hurting us because it's harder to maintain.
Well, exactly.
I mean,
it's
system.
It's kind of the equivalent of taking your whole internet system and try to put it down on a laptop. The complexity of, for example, an internet version of Word or something, and then trying to take that internet version and collapse it apart and put it on your laptop computer.
So what that means is that this was built as an enterprise 58 county system, and for one court to take one part of it and install it in a single court, it's way too complicated an architecture for that.
An enterprise is a term of art within technology.
Yes. On the functional side, notwithstanding that a lot of people had seen pieces of it or been involved in testing, people were very impressed with the functionality of it, that it was very intuitive, it went smoothly. It's hard to know how fast it would be since we were on a webinar, but people liked the functionality, which was kind of frustrating given the architectural thing. That's what I think generated some of the, well, can we take pieces of this out and use it, because it worked.
So these demonstrations were recorded, and you can, if you want to access them on the website, you can see them. I think that's correct. Les, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So they're still there. I would recommend that unless you have a degree from MIT, don't go to the architecture one. You won't get it.
Right.
But the functional one, if you want to see what V4 would have looked like, you're welcome to log in.
And my UCSB degree is not a lot of help. Oh, so, all right. So, you know, we've already talked about the possible leverage opportunities. What that means in English is that simply looking at thing, whether we can, in these 19 different areas, make use of the technology at the trial court level. And CCMS code access, you know, what we are opening up or have discussed is opportunities for trial court CEOs to take a look at the code itself. with the possibility of perhaps using parts of the code within their own courts. And so that, again, is somewhat budget-dependent in terms of whether they're able to do that. San Luis Obispo's request for a proposal. The AOC has drafted an RFP for a CCMS system for San Luis Obispo. And again,
CMS.
What did I say?
CCMS.
I said the CCMS. I said that? Okay. Case.
You're busted.
I know. Force of habit. Pardon me. Anyway, yeah, a case management system. Again, I have to compliment staff. I mean, this is the rocket docket in terms of moving forward with some of the stuff. And the reason that the timing was pushed on this is that, as we'll hear in the next item on the agenda, San Luis Obispo is in desperate straits for a case management system, and it's been sort of left out to dry by our decision on March 27th. And it's within what the council asked our committee to do in terms of looking for a technical solution for San Luis Obispo case management-wise. And really, the important piece of this is, yes, this is for San Luis Obispo, but it's also a template for a request for proposals for a case management system that courts throughout the state can use go forward. And not only that, with San Luis Obispo being a pioneer in this area, there is value added to assisting them in acquiring a case management system financially, because that will identify vendors who are qualified vendors in the sense that they meet the requirements to make the request for a proposal in the first place. And secondly, San Luis Obispo will have contributed their time and energy in walking through the RFP process and creating a path for other courts that are in similar positions looking for case management systems. So, next slide, please. So that appears to be it. It looks like we did our one-hour presentation in a half an hour. So, any questions?
I have a comment. I think this is very exciting. We're able to learn from past incidents, but able to move forward and bring everyone along. And it just sounds like we're making the best of a situation we found ourselves. It was a quick turnaround to regroup and find out how best to use this. And I know we've been in discussions in the legislature. I've explained the $5 million and how it saves $550
right.
million. And there's a lot of understanding of the merits and the logic of the argument, and I'm crossing my fingers and we will find other ways. But this is very exciting, and I commend you on all your work. I attended a half meeting, and it was incredibly above my pay scale to figure out what you were saying, but I understood that it was movement toward a modernization of the branch, and I'm very excited by this.
Well, I think most of us walked away, at least my committee and I walked away from the March 27th meeting with a real sense of what the heck do we do now? And, then kind of like the cavalry came rushing in from the branch. So I think it's a real demonstration of the health of our branch in very dire times, financially and technologically as well. And, I guess my mantra would be that it's very important to keep the courthouse doors open, but if courts don't have a functioning case management system, it's very hard to keep those doors open in an effective way for access for the public. So,
thank you. I thank you, Kim Turner.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo some of what you just said, Chief, and especially commend the IS division of the AOC, which has done amazing work with ever-diminishing staff,
exactly.
A constantly changing landscape. I mean, Mark, you and your team have done nothing short of miraculous work to recover from the decision we made back in March, and I really want to just thank you so much for showing up every day and continuing to use your amazing ingenuity to help guide this process. And Judge Herman, you are the 24/7 technology judge, so thank you very, very much for all your efforts.
Well, I have to say, Kim, thanks to the committee as well. I mean, a lot of wear and tear over the last year since the chief appointed this committee, a lot of ups and downs and reversals of fortune, and everybody is stuck in there, everybody makes the phone call meetings, everybody contributes, and I echo your comments about staff. I mean, can you imagine while you're being rapidly downsized, like an elevator falling from the 20th story of a building, and at the same time you have to say, wait a minute, we have to look forward, we have to figure out what we can do with these diminishing resources, and we have to go around the building and fire people. I mean, that's just, you know, and to get, like the RFP, to get that done, the document completed, because, of course, the creation of the RFP has delayed San Luis Obispo in terms of their system, as will the period of time that it'll take the RFP, because they don't have they can't single source their case management system. So thank you for that.
Justice Ashman Gersh. Chief, just to follow up on your comment, how pleased you were with the direction of the court, how we're moving towards technology, I want to thank the committee. I want to thank Judge O'Malley for the suggestion of putting out a survey to all the courts. Because if you take the time to look at the survey and look at the individual courts, you get this real overall sense that, by and large, the courts are hoping that the council will be a leader in developing a technology plan for the branch.
Great, great work. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Judge O'Malley.
And I want to thank the cavalry, the IT guys that came forward. You know, I'd worked with a few of them on other projects before, and I'm really thankful that they are really contributing a lot of their time and effort to be the cavalry. And I'm just, if you're out there, guys, thank you if you're listening.
Thank you. Judge D'Alba.
I think we should acknowledge the sustained expertise and efforts of Justice Terry Bruniers, who's not here.
I agree. And Justice Bruniers, by the way, is representing CTAC on the steering committee, which is, of course, the steering committee for the working group, and has been in the loop on all of these issues, and probably is the pro from Dover among the judiciary on all things technology.
Thank you. Thank you, and from now on, we will get reports from the Technology Committee.
That's right. And we will talk about case management systems. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.